We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Sound ridiculous. Sound like you got coronavirus.
You look ridiculous. You look like you have coronavirus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host Hatch with my boy.
What's happening, everybody? This is T.O. Welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready, and I got my popcorn ready today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yep, yep. And if you want to see the video version of this, go to youtube.com/Terrorloins. That's my YouTube channel. Y'all go check it out.
Y'all go check it out. But today, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if y'all can see my little shirt right here. I'm going to pay homage to my guy. We got Craig, and some of y'all know him as Ice Cube, is coming to the show today, ladies and gentlemen.
That's what's up. I can't wait to talk to my guy, Ice Cube, man. This is big, bro. This is big. Like, yo, this is like, bro, this is big. This is like, you know, we had some great guests on the show, but when you talk about, man, he's like Kobe. You know what I mean? This is like bringing on Kobe. This is like bringing on MJ. Like, bro, he's like a top dog. You know what I mean? So I am looking forward to bringing this guy to the show today. I'm ready.
Absolutely. For all you out there that don't know, I've never heard of NWA from back in the day. He was one of the rappers in that rap group. Changed pretty much all African-American
lives. Y'all don't know what NWA is, niggas with attitude. Yes.
Yes, yes.
NWA, like said, that's what it is. We keep it real. That's what it is. You think it, we say it. That's what NWA for all the new subscribers, you know what I mean, that want to come on to the podcast. Like I said, you know, we keep it real on this show. We have a lot of great guests. We're going to be respectful with everybody. But like I said, you think it, we say it, we keeping it real. But everybody that's tuning in, we appreciate you. Download the app. That's right. Get your popcorn ready. It's about to get going up in here today.
And he went from NWA being a rapper to being a writer to being a producer to being a movie star. Again, he didn't just do some, you know, play a small role in some movies. He was in some big hits, of course, Barbershop, Friday, which is, of course, another classic, you know, in the African-American community as well. Again, so he's been doing his thing, producing. But yeah, filmmaker, Los Angeles icon, like for real. Coming to the show, Ice Cube up next. Yeet.
That's right. O'Shea Jackson is in the building.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Okay. Hey, you see how I'm coming in?
Hey, Cube, you're going to have to clear this now. You're going to have to clear this.
Hey, you see how I'm coming on. You better check yourself.
Well, you wrecked yourself.
Yeah, what's up, boy?
What's up, man? What's happening, dog?
Oh, man, all good, man.
Hey, we ain't going to take up too much your time, bro. I know you're busy. I had just seen your text. I walked upstairs, but, man, we glad to have you on, man. We know you got a lot of energy to you, man. Everything going on. We appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate y'all having me on, man. You know, I'll come on anytime to holler at y'all, so don't ever worry about it. Just hit me whenever you want me, and I'll be back.
There it is.
Okay,
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So welcome to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. It's your host, Hatch, with my boy.
T.O., yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We got a special guest, and we got superstar, legend rapper. We got actor, producer, filmmaker, Los Angeles icon, and the creator of Yay Yay! Ice Cube is in the building, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. What's up with y'all? How y'all feeling?
Oh, man.
Man, we good, man. We good, man. We just appreciate you, man. Like I said, you know, he give you all your praise. We giving you your roses right now, man. We know you world renowned, man. And, you know, for me, this is definitely, bro, this is an honor, you know, just to have you on. And I know we've crossed paths a few times. And I think, like I said, your name in itself, and when you talk about, you know, legendary people, bro, you're one of those guys, you know, especially me being from the South, you know, growing up in high school, hearing about NWA, this, that, and the other, and me not even knowing that I was going to play at the pro level. And then I go to California. I start hearing about, you know, everybody. This is where everything and everybody's originated from. So, man, this is crazy, man. This is a real moment, man. So we, like I said, man, we appreciate you being on, man. And like I said, I'm ecstatic about today.
Well, you know, I appreciate you too, T.O. You know, you've been a dude who always played with passion. You know what I'm saying?
Appreciate that.
You did everything and you were true to who you are. And at the end of the day, that's all you got is who you are, man. And I enjoy watching you get down. You know what I'm saying?
That means a lot, man. I appreciate you, you know, saying that, because like I said, you know, throughout the course of my career, my man, I took a lot of criticism, you know, for being really, like you said, being me, being flamboyant. Yeah. And the media basically, you know, didn't know me as a person, you know, took things that I did, you know, that wasn't of the norm. But as I performed and as I became somewhat of an entertainer, as I was playing the game of football, I realized what I was doing. And like I said, it wasn't to their liking. But again, growing up in the South, being raised by my grandmother, she always taught me to just be me. And so I knew right from wrong. So I knew that everything that I was doing, people may have an opinion about it or perception of me, but that doesn't mean that I'm a bad person or what I was doing was wrong. But yeah, I mean, it was just like you said, when you talk about passion and just you know, we, you know, obviously we'll get on Kobe, but you know, that was one of my guys that I looked up to, as well as Michael Jordan. But again, like I said, when you talk about, you know, you and what you guys have done just in the industry, the music industry, and how, you know, we as athletes, we gravitate to what y'all do as well.
Hey, so look, I loved every minute of your career. You know, you, to me, made the game fun. You took the shackles off. I remember when the league used to let people celebrate in the end zone. Mm-hmm. And then I think the Smurfs or the Fun Bunch or some one of those teams on their way to the Super Bowl, you know, was getting people upset because they were celebrating. And then the league clamped down on it. But you guys never accepted those shackles, you know, guys like you and Ocho Cinco, you know what I mean,
right,
y'all?
Right. No doubt.
Never accepted those shackles, man. Yep. And look at them now. You know, you opened the game back up. People realize the way you played the game and how much fun you had was how you supposed to play. And now, look, you can damn near do anything in the end zone right now.
Anything.
And so thank you for opening it back up and not accepting no shackles.
Oh, appreciate it.
You know, the game is better because you played.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and we're going to get one thing kind of out the way at the very beginning as well. So, of course, Ice Cube here, the creator of the Big Three. And I just need you to sit here and tell us exactly, because I know the reason why T.O. was not playing in the Big Three. Because I just want to hear it out of your mouth, Cube, that it's because he's not good enough to play in the Big Three. That's the reason he didn't play in the Big Three. What I heard. I believe
T.O. is good enough to play in the Big Three. What I was trying to do when you're trying
to start. I do not, by the way. I do not. Trust me.
You know, I've been on the court with him a few times, so I know he can play. You know, we've been in a couple of celebrity things where I seen him, you know, do his thing. But look, starting a league, trying to start a professional league from scratch, all you have is credibility. You know, you got to start off with total credibility. That's why we went and got Dr. J, Iceman. Mm-hmm. That's why we got Clyde Drexler, Gary Payton, Rick Barry. You know, we were trying to start off with basketball royalty just as coaches, which helped us get players. Mm-hmm. And I promised those players that they would play against ex-NBA players.
Right.
And they accepted that as, okay, this is a level or a fraternity that you've had to be from to get a chance to reap these small benefits, you know, because we're still only in our early stages. And so starting the league, you know, with Allen Iverson and, and, you know, these big names, you know, we even had White Chocolate for a game until he got hurt.
Right.
We thought, okay, this is the draw, you know, nostalgic, but level of play that's respectable, especially half court. So we felt like, okay, this is what we had to do. And then when we got in the first game, a real league broke out. Like, all that, it wasn't about your name at all. It was about your game totally.
Yeah.
And people loved that. So some guys couldn't play some of the games. So we thought the crowd would want their money back. But no, they wanted to come see who could play. So the league has started gaining a hair of legitimacy, even though people thought it was a one-year experiment. So coming back in year two, I kind of had to keep that same energy, but try to enhance it. And in year three, we felt like, okay, people are really starting to respect Big Three basketball outside of the names who can play and who can't play, or guys that we thought was going to be the superstars, it ends up being other people. So we were like, look, if we want to be a real legitimate league, we got to open this thing up to all athletes. So this year, going into year four, our mindset was opening it up to all athletes, all ages. You know, I believe we was like 21 and up. So this was the year T.O. could have really came into the combine and did his thing until we had this COVID situation and we realized we couldn't have the season. So basically, in a nutshell, I was just trying to make sure the league had total legitimacy and people, because people was calling it a gimmick and like, Cuba, you going to play and all this kind of shit. And I was like, man, come on. Now. I'm trying to do a real league. So we are real league now.
You know, no,
we
get
got
it.
Our legitimacy.
Right.
And so,
What you're saying is like I said, it's much respected. You know, I didn't take offense to it, but you know, as you know, a lot of guys that I played with in the basketball and some, you know, basketball courts and leagues in LA, and even some of the guys that played in the Big Three, you know, obviously I heard that they was vouching for me, you know, Bees, Rashard, McCants, a lot of those guys reached out to you. I didn't take offense to it, but again, everybody knew what he's trying to get you to do. He's trying to bait you to say that I really can't play, but I'm glad
you can play.
He can play for an old man. I'll give him that.
Look, man.
He ain't better than me, but he can play for an old man.
It's no such thing as old basketball or women's basketball or kids basketball. It's basketball. You know?
I like what you said. It's credibility. You brought credibility to what you were bringing, you know, which was a new platform that, you know, everybody's probably been talking about, but didn't really know how to put that thing together. So you putting that thing together along with the guy, especially the most notable name guys that you mentioned, Dr. J, the Allen Iversons, the Clyde Drexlers, that's bringing credibility and validation and really authenticity to the Big Three. So trust me. No offense taken. I respected it. I love it. And then, like I said, if I could have played, then I was going to try to represent and do my thing. But like I said, I appreciate not only just me, but just the fans. Like you said, everybody thought it was a gimmick. And I like your approach. I like your answer, because if you didn't bring that authenticity or that credibility to the game,
it would have been
initially, and you start bringing like somebody like myself in and some other guy like Chris Brown, then it would have been just like a celebrity game. That's not the business model I'm sure you guys were going for. And obviously, like I said, you did it the right way.
And you know, and I appreciate how you handled it at the time. You know, people was putting microphones in your face and everything. But, you know, I had to hold the line because everybody was looking at me. I mean, people was calling me when we go to a city saying, Cube, I want to come down there and play. And I'm like, dude, you're not part of the league.
Right.
You know, I mean,
you can't just walk up and play.
Walk up with your sneakers and play.
Right.
You have to go through, you know, everything everybody else went through to be a part of the league. Because a lot of people wanted to play. And even a lot of guys who were in our in our pool, our draft pool, ended up playing because guys would get hurt. You could pull a guy out the draft pool, but you had to at least become part of the draft pool. So, you know, if you still want to ball in 21, stay in shape, and you can and you can come be a part of this.
No doubt.
And make a team. You know, that's the whole key is to make a team. Once you make a team, you win.
So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, definitely check out, again, the Big Three. It's a great brand of basketball. It's not no gimmicky, right? It's a good brand of basketball. The competition, authenticity is there. But with the pandemic going on right now, so what does 2021 look like for the Big Three here? And, again, worldwide, because I know you guys are going overseas as well.
Right.
Well, you know, right now, I mean, this thing knocked a little bit of knocked us off balance a little bit because we still have to get in where we fit in. We was playing in the summer when the NBA had really finished their finals. You know, summer league explosion had died down, and then we had a window where we played our 10 weeks of basketball before football season came in. So with this COVID thing, everything is kind of knocked off a schedule. So we got to kind of watch what these major leagues do and find another place to get in where we fit in because them dudes, them leagues been around some 100 years, some 70, some 60, 80, you know. So we've been around 3 years going into our fourth year. So we can't get too cocky and try to go up against the big boys. We still got to find a place to get in where we fit in. So we got to kind of play by ear when it comes to that. But we are working with Big Brother. The company that is the parent company of Big Brother, the TV show, to try to create a Big Brother around Big Three basketball in a way. So you're in the house and you have to, instead of competing in them crazy games on the grass or whatever, you go in and compete. You compete in a Big Three fireball game. So that's the thing we're working on that we can probably, or we're trying to sneak in between the season to keep, you know, Big Three basketball in people's mind. And it'll be some fun new format that we might accept, you know, from here on out. You never know.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
There it is. Cool. Yeah. I mean, because the whole pandemic, right, 6 months, then, of course, the movement the last 3 months, like, for 2020, of course, you're getting ready for 2021, but you said it kind of set you guys back. Did it like set back any of the mental process for you as far as everything going on? Or are you still like, you know, I still got to wake up because there's so many people depending on Ice Cube. You're in so many different lanes, you know, from entertainment to sports. It's like you have to perform every day still, it seems like, you know, for your team, for your people around you. So how is 2020, you know, I guess, kind of set you back, or did you not let it set you back?
Hey, it's a rough year. You know, we lost Kobe, and it's just been, you know, one of those years that I don't think anybody will ever forget.
Right.
And, you know, you have to first get your balance and then try to figure out what you need to do to get through this period, and then what do you do after this is over?
Mm-hmm.
But then comes the George Floyd situation.
Right.
I was really, you know, enjoying listening to people like D Nice, you know what I'm saying?
Instagram Live. Yeah.
You know, he had us in a mood where we were, you know, riding it out together. So, you know, people really need to give a shout out to D Nice for doing that. But then, and I had a movie coming out with Tracee Ellis Ross that I was promoting. And then the George Floyd situation happened. And that threw us and our communities into another mode where we, you know, had to be reminded about just how much injustice going on in this country. So then I really put everything aside, you know, and got laser focus on creating a better Black America. You know, I'm not including all minorities in this.
Even though
I love all minorities and I want to see them prosper. But this is a black push for us to get some kind of equality in this country, not only socially, but economically. And so that's what I've been focused on. And I came up with something called The Contract with Black America. And what it's is a that? Wide, well, it's a wide look at our problems and, you know, basically saying America needs to agree to fix these issues because they're grossly out of whack. You know, and if you went to, you know, Contract with America, I mean, with break it down with CWBA.world. Okay. CWBA.world. It'll lead you to the Contract with Black America.
Okay.
And so this is dealing with everything, you know, we can think of across the board. And this is just a foundation. You know, we've had economists and scholars and activists to look at our contract and enhance it and make it better and feed us the data that we're missing in some of these areas to prove our point. So it's just something that I didn't see nobody doing. I just saw everybody coming up with police reform and, you know, let's, you know, get statues removed and, you know, just stuff that needs to be done or would be nice. But we need real reform across the board. Thank you. That's the perfect word. It's not moving the needle.
It's not moving the needle. And so, man, we appreciate you, you know, sharing that, man. I know, like I said, we don't want to take too much of time. We got so much to talk about. Yeah. We got Ice Cube is in the building. I know you got very little time, and you've already just started to elaborate on it. And I appreciate, you know, Hatch, you know, kind of segue and you kind of got getting on this topic. But yeah, it's one of the hottest topics right now, and it's racism in America. And I've been following you on social media. As well as everything else, you know, from the CNNs to Fox, I try not to, you know, just inundate myself with all the news media. But I know that you've been very vocal about where you stand with everything going on in the world with the show, with the police brutality, the social inequality, injustice, and especially on the upcoming in election. But I found it interesting about what you said about everyone, including Black America, that wants Biden in office. But what I found very interesting, and I thought about this, but I didn't say it, but you said it. You said, okay, once we vote him in, then what?
Then what?
Then what? Can you kind of elaborate on that, a little bit?
Well, voting is very important, of course, and I want people to register to vote and, you know, have it cocked and ready, so to speak. But the idea of voting is actually getting something for your vote. That is
right.
The purpose of getting behind anybody is my community, you know, not minorities or, you know, diversity is a word, but what does the Black community actually get from a party that claims to be friendly? So to not ask for that is not how you do the voting process. You don't just vote as an exercise, like jogging. You you want to put people in power who feed your self-interest as a community.
Right.
You know, I'm not asking for anything personal in anything. Any of these conversations I'm having with the candidates' teams, it's not asking for not one thing personal. It's everything for Black communities and how to close this wealth gap. You know, for every dollar a white person is worth, a Black person is worth 10 cents.
Wow.
And so that is the reality of us not being able to create wealth under the conditions that stand and that's practiced in America, not only on the public side, but on the private side. And they work together to have us do a lot, but get nothing. So these bonds and pacts have to be broken, and a new shift needs to happen. And I think the government needs to do more when it comes to helping us get out of this situation. You know, when they bombed out Germany and they bombed out Japan, they used American dollars to fix those cities. And why won't they do the same thing for Baltimore?
Right, the inner city.
Those your own city. Gary, Indiana, South Side, Chicago, whatever. You know, why they won't do the same thing for us, for Americans, for their own homeland?
Right.
That's like going and fixing somebody else's house and your roof leaking.
Exactly. Right.
So these are some of the things the government can do without much fuss. I mean, it's like the government has the money. They just don't have the will to do it. So that's what we're trying to do, is create the will. We're trying to make them do it.
Right. Demand. Yep. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like you said, obviously there's a lot of plans and initiatives, obviously, that needs to be put in place by, like I said, a potential the candidate Biden and obviously his VP Kamala Harris. But I think in a nutshell is that you're saying that we don't want any empty promises.
Yes.
In a sense, you know, based on what we're demanding or what we need. And I couldn't have thought of any other way better to explain it. But you said it's like, yeah, it's like we're not even taking care of our own. We're quick to take care of somebody else. And again, we have neighborhoods, you know, Black communities, neighborhoods that are undeveloped, that needs to be helped, and that it's not being done. So,
here's what I want people to understand. When they tell you, well, where are we going to get the money? Where's the money? The money, the money, the money. They make us think America runs like a household that's broke. Like, Mama, I want them new Jordans. And Mama say, we ain't got the money. Right. You got to wait till your birthday. You got to wait till Christmas. We ain't got the money. Well, that's how they have us thinking. And most economists think in them terms. But if you really look, America is a currency creator,
right?
Not a currency user. That means you can make dollars to fix your problems.
Land of free and land of opportunity.
And you should make dollars to fix your problems. Everybody say, well, you can't do that, Q, because inflation goes up if you put too much money on the streets. They just put $3 trillion out.
Right.
Inflation hasn't really moved.
Right.
Why can't we get $1 trillion of that for our Black community?
Right.
To fix it and make sure that money hits the street. Because money don't trickle down. Money trickles up. If you give a homeless person $100, he's going to buy some, and he's going to buy it from somebody that has more than he do. And then they're going to buy some, and then it's going to go right back up to the top. So, but everybody benefits off the money hitting the bottom all the way to get back to the top. Right. So that argument that money trickles down is a lie,
right?
Because, you know, there's people that hijack it at the top and never let it hit the bottom. So we're just trying to do things to get money to the bottom of the pyramid so it's not so much suffering from the people who are relegated to the bottom, which is usually Black people.
But this is where we have to take a pause for the calls and show some love to some people over at Liquid IV.
Yeah,
tell us about a Hatch.
Let's talk about this hydration.
If you've ever played any sport, if you're an athlete, I think we've all gone through it where we've either pulled a hamstring or injuries just come out of nowhere. And sometimes if it's just not like a, you know, impact injury or anything like that, if it's a soft tissue injury, 9 times out of 10, they don't know that it comes from dehydration. Yep, dehydration. And once I started to learn a little bit more about that, Obviously, from my personal trainer, about keeping your body hydrated, that's obviously going to keep you healthier. That was one of the things that I helped me really kind of extend my career, along with a lot of other things as far as nutrition and maintenance, body maintenance, but hydration was really key. So, you know, my personal experience, obviously, we're talking about liquid IV today. I know just recently I just had to get my blood drawn. I called myself, you know, hydrating the night before, thinking that I was going to be hydrated for my appointment to get my blood drawn. And so I went into my appointment. They stuck me in my right arm and didn't get any blood. Then they went to the left arm, didn't get any blood. And the doctor, she asked me, you know, she said, "Are you hydrated?" She goes, I can't believe that, you know, she said, "I'm usually good at this." She goes, "I've never had to poke somebody twice and not gotten any blood." So she basically sent me home for about 45 minutes. I honestly, this is no lie. I'm not getting paid a whole lot of money for this ad. This is real life stuff. I came home, got some water, poured some liquid IV in there. And what liquid IV does, it helps you hydrate. Kind of, it's almost like two to three bottles in the serving. So I poured that into my bottle. Yeah, I poured that into my water. I drank it. I probably had like maybe 20 or more ounces of water, drank it, and I had another one. And then I went back in to the lab where I got my, where I had gotten stuck a couple of times and it didn't happen. I went in there, she stuck me again. And soon as she stuck that needle in me, like literally, it was blood just starts almost gushing into the syringe. So that let me know right there, liquid IV, it is as good as advertised. And like I said, trust me, this is a real true life testimonial. No lie. If you want to get hydrated and stay hydrated, throw some liquid IV in there and you good.
Yep. Like you said, one serving of liquid IV provides the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water alone. Contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. Healthier than all those sugary drinks with no artificial flavors or preservatives and less sugar than an apple. Made with clean ingredients, non-GMO, vegan, and free of gluten, dairy, and soy.
Hey, Hatch, what makes liquid IV so effective?
The optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium delivers water and nutrients into the bloodstream. It's the perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. One stick of liquid IV and a 16 ounce of water can give you as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of plain water. Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV is donating 3.7 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. That's Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target. Or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code popcorn at checkout. That's Liquid IV available nationwide at Costco and Target. Or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code popcorn at checkout.
That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code popcorn at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code popcorn. Let's pause for the calls, and we got to give this wellness brand, we got to give them a shout out. And this is very, very unique brand. It's called Care Of. They're a wellness brand, and Care Of can make taking your vitamins and supporting your health goals attainable. Care Of is super transparent about the research and sourcing behind every one of their products, with extensive information available on their website and fun, informative content on their social pages. Care Of's in-depth 5-minute online quiz asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help address your specific wellness goals. So, speaking of online quiz, I'm going to let my guy Hatch give you a little info about that.
The key word is online, right? The vitamin aisle can be a confusing and scary place. It's hard to know what you need and where to start. So Care Of's in-depth 5-minute online quiz asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help you address your specific wellness goals. Answer 5 easy questions like, how much sleep did you get? How often do you work out? Do you follow any specialty diets? Are you concerned about your hair, skin, or nail growth. Follow Care Of's expert recommendation or adjust your pack at any time.
I think, taking vitamins is an individual thing. I think it's specific and tailored to your body.
As an ex-professional athlete, I think that the vitamins are the supplement of all the work we used to do, right? We used to be able to go to the gym and get on the track and run and lift and jump. As those things we can't do anymore, so you have to find some way to supplement those things. And of course, I think the vitamins are the best way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's not, you know, vitamins, you know, obviously they kind of replace a lot of the nutrients that we lose, especially, you know, as we sweat, especially athletes, we sweat a lot. So, it's one of those things, obviously, kind of you're replacing some nutrients and things of that nature, to keep your body healthy.
For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter promo code popcorn50.
For 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code popcorn50.
That's popcorn, the number 50.
Okay, y'all. Okay, cool. So we're going to pause for the calls one more again, and we're going to give some love to our people over here at the Green Chef.
Oh, what's Green Chef, T?
Oh, man. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company and meals plan, which include paleo, plant-powered, keto, and balanced living. And for people that can't cook, this right here is real easy. They're going to make it so easy for you, especially if you can't cook. People like yourself, Hatch, I know you can't cook, so they have recipes that are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and I know you're a little special. They have photos to guide you along.
And they also have vegan, and I had some vegan crab cakes, and I must admit, them things was banging too.
One more thing that makes it so easy and convenient for you. Everything is handpicked and delivered right to your door. Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle.
With Green Chef's wide variety of high quality, clean ingredients, you can feel great about what you're eating and how it got to your table. Green Chef is the most sustainable meal kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box. Yep, Green Chef's expect chef designed flavorful recipes for your lifestyle that go way beyond ordinary substitutions. It gives you a diverse array of meal plans with plenty of options to choose from each week. Enjoy clean ingredients you can trust, seasonally sourced for peak freshness. Green Chef also offers contactless delivery to your doorstep for easy home cooking. You know what? Green Chef also makes cooking easy with dinner options that work around your lifestyle, not the other way around. Let Green Chef do the meal planning, grocery shopping, and most of the prep for your week. Recipes include pre-made measured sauces, dressings, and spices so you can get more flavor in less time.
Yeah, use code popcorn80 to get $80 off your first month plus free shipping on your first box. Go to greenchef.com/popcorn80 to redeem and for more details.
That's greenchef.com/popcorn80 to redeem for more details. Yeah, well, ladies and gentlemen, listening to Ice Cube here. And again, stay on the bad stuff, but you did mention how 2020, the Kobe death moved you a little bit as well. Yeah. So how did that hit you? As it hit all of us, but it sounds like it hit you pretty bad as well.
Right.
It's like losing a superhero, in a way. I remember like having a superhero like Bruce Lee and finding out, he died. And I put Kobe in that category in a way. So it's a great loss to our courage in a way. Uh-huh. People like Kobe help all of us summons the spirits in us, to be the best.
Right.
And it takes courage to go there and challenge yourself, because that's the fight nobody knows but you.
Yeah, already.
To challenge yourself to go further and get better and be better, and that you're good, but you're not good enough. Keep going. And this is what I love about athletes, like with that spirit that Kobe. I give T.O. the spirit too. T.O. was the kind of athlete you want to get behind, because You don't want to see. You don't look like you watching mere mortals out there. Like you and your friends can get out there and do it. You know what I mean? You want to see a perfection of a art or sport or talent taken to its zenith, mm-hmm. to this highest level, and the person that has that talent understands how hard they got to keep working to keep it there. So, mm-hmm. you know, I respect athletes who are, you know, alpha dogs, as I say.
Right. Yeah.
And are not there to make friends, but there to slay the dragon.
Right. Yeah, they're there to perfect their craft. The craft.
Right. So let me jump in, because it's funny how you say that, because T does for sure, but we look at you the same way. You know, because when you're on stage, like I said, I've seen you perform at a bunch of different, you know, venues, but when you're on stage, it's like, we're always like, man, he in his bag, you know, he's focused. Like, I wish I could do that. You know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. like, and you look at the athletes like that. So there's that back and forth, you know, mentally, as far as we look at you the same way.
But, you know, I look at a dude that can handle a bulldozer or a crane or somebody right. that can fly a plane. You right. know, I look at them the same way. Right. You know, right. if you just, you know you the shit. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And you right.
and you're doing your thing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I love that attitude in people who own it and not afraid to let people know what they can do, and then they can back it up. You know, it's why we love Muhammad Ali. You know, Muhammad Ali is just a great all around everything person to like and get behind. You know, he was, you know, great speaker, great athlete, but he had principle. He didn't let nobody take his manhood from him, you know, verbally or physically. Right. So, you know, it's like, and to me, he was one of the true first rappers, you know what I mean? rap wouldn't be what rap is without Muhammad Ali.
Right.
As that person who would say they'll whoop your ass and then back it up. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
I remember watching Muse when Kobe was talking about how when MJ came in the league, some of the guys wouldn't look MJ in the eyes. And Kobe made the statement, he's like, you know, I'm not going to not look this dude in his eyes. He's like, I'm that too. You know, like about Mike, like I'm that dude, I'm you. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yeah, that respect of anybody who's going to have the confidence to say I'm in the 0.01% of my craft, like I'm that too.
Hey, the person that sold his numbers on his jersey, if they the baddest at it, should walk in the room and say, I'm bad at this. Oh, you know right. what I mean? I'm y'all might be good at that, but when it come to that, when it come to this, you know, y'all not fade me. So I just respect people who know who they are and what they're worth and how to, you know, deliver perfection to people and deliver as close to perfection as they can get it. It's close to perfection. It's perfection in the eyes of everybody else. Right. You know what I mean?
Right. Even to if them, it's not, yeah.
Even if they feel like, yo, I could have did that a lot better. So respect due all the way around, especially for Kobe Bryant, who I think he transcends basketball when it comes to giving people that mentality. You know, they call it the Mamba mentality.
Mamba, yep. And yeah, I mean, I've even said it, and he's obviously Kobe's one of those guys. He's number two, you know, second best player ever behind Michael Jordan. When you look at him play and you see his, like you said, his relentless pursuit of greatness, it was on display every time that he touched the court. And I think that's the difference between he and MJ and some of the guys that are playing today, that, you know, they have the talent. They show you flashes of the skill set. But I think what made those two great in my eyes is their ability to possess and be the best versions of themselves, which Kobe obviously, he says a lot. But again, those two individuals, they didn't take a night off. It was just like, when you talk about Mamba mentality, you talk about killer instinct. As you, like, Hadge was saying, like, he didn't want to, some guys were afraid to look the greatest in the eyes, but Kobe saw him as Michael's equal. And when you start to see somebody, inferior, you make yourself inferior to somebody, then that's how you're going to play. And that's how people are going to perceive you. But when we talk about his pursuit of greatness, I mean, like I said, we haven't had any better examples than Michael Jordan and Kobe. And so, man, I appreciate you sharing that story. And I know you're a big Lakers fan. And just, I mean, obviously, like I said, when Kobe passed, it hit everybody like a ton of bricks. I mean, we were talking about, honestly, when Hatch is the first guy that texted me about it. And I, you know, I was already talking about bringing him on the show. And so when he texted me, he said, Kobe, I'm like, I said, yeah, I'm going to, yeah. I said, I'm reaching out to him to bring him on. And he said, you haven't seen the news? I'm like, nah, dude. And then seconds after that, I started getting text. I was like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm getting chills just talking about it. But obviously, like I said, he's touched so many lives in so many ways. And you being in LA, I've seen you at the Laker games. Like that being going to Staples, that's like, that's home. That's your sanctuary. That's Kobe's sanctuary. Can you share with us like a fond memory with you and Kobe?
I remember it was actually in Atlanta. It was up at TNT. Okay. I was just going up there to do a quick little segment. And when I walked in the control room, Kobe is standing there watching them get ready for the
monitor.
For the telecast. But he wasn't on the show.
Right.
He wasn't scheduled to go on the show. He was just there hanging out in the control room. So, and this is where, you know, after they do their segments, they'll walk into the control room and, you know, it's snacks and little stuff in there. This is my first time really getting, you know, some one-on-one alone time with Kobe Bryant, where there's no more distractions and it's just me and him talking about, you know, everything, you know, under the sun, you know, and it's like one of those moments that, you know, you get to talk to people and you get it. You know, you see him in crowds, you see him in big situations, you show love, you're on the move, but to be able to kick it for two straight hours, just hanging out and talking about basketball, talking about life, talking about the Lakers, talking about, you know, what they need to do. And it's a moment that I cherish because, you know, to me, it was like at the time, you know, I really had admired Kobe from afar. You know, one thing I don't like to do, and, you know, I was, you know, close friends with Deion Sanders too, is mess with people when they're in their lane or when they're doing their thing or when they're in their arena. You know, I've been invited on the sidelines many a times to games and stuff like that. And I would rather go sit in the crowd or, you know, a box or whatever, because I don't want to be a distraction. I want to see what people do their thing without even thinking they got to come over and talk to me or say, Cube, you good? You know, it's like, don't worry about me. I want to do fan you. Out.
Right.
I want to fan out.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I had always been that way with Kobe until I was able to really kick it with him that day. And then we became, you know, a lot closer. But I still, you know, would let him do his thing and admire him from afar because, you know, Kobe, you know, he's a lot younger than me. So, you know, he's from a different generation. And that's another cool thing is to have a hero that's younger than you, you know,
right.
Somebody who, you know, people always think you got to look up to your OGs and look up to your, to the people that's done it before you. But to show that you admire somebody younger than you, it means that you, you know, you're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Well, yeah, no, I know you're a big Raiders fan, Lakers fan, big sports fan in general. So we kind of like to do this little segment on the show we call Start One, Bench One, Cut One, you know, for some of your athletes. So we go get into a little, and this is your list, so, you know, you can't be wrong. But we're going to get into a little bit of the Raiders history right now. And we're going to start with the DBs, right? So you got to start one, you got to bench one, you got to cut one. Right? I'm going to give you three names, right?
Damn.
So one, Jack Tatum,
mm-hmm.
Mike Haynes, and Lester Hayes. You have to start one, bench one, cut one. Those are three Raider legends, ladies and gentlemen, all defensive backs for the Oakland and Los Angeles Raiders.
I'm starting Jack Tatum.
Ooh, okay.
Are we talking about this NFL?
Right. Because Jack Tatum would be kicked out of this today's NFL. He'd be kicked out.
I have to start Mike Haynes. Right. And then I'll probably bench Jack Tatum. Damn, I can't believe I'm saying that because he was one of my favorite
right
DBs. And Lester, no stick'em going on around no more. So.
Okay, you know, cut Lester.
We might have to cut Lester, right. Even though he was absolutely my favorite Raider cornerback besides Woodson.
See what he taught. We just had Charles Woodson on the show. Yeah, Shout out to Charles Woodson as well. Yeah,
Charles Woodson is, you know, he's my favorite. Damn, it's a lot of them though.
But
that's how it go.
Okay, let's go to the offensive side of ball. All right, start one, bench one, cut one. You got Bo Jackson,
mm-hmm.
you got Marcus Allen, and you got Tim mm-hmm. Brown. Start one, bench one, cut one.
Why you put a receiver up? Oh, these are
offensive guys.
Well, I think I'm going to start Marcus Allen.
Oh, okay. That was surprising. Okay.
Yeah, I would start Marcus Allen.
Okay.
I would bench Tim Brown.
Ooh.
And I would cut Bo Jackson.
You're cut Bo. What? Jackson.
You cut Bo?
Yeah. Because Bo, he had his mind in baseball and football.
So he Marcus was focused on the ring. Task.
Marcus got us a ring.
Yeah.
And Tim got us to the Super Bowl. So.
Okay.
Jerry Rice got out to the Super Bowl. Don't let
you know, Jerry did his thing. Jerry did his thing. You know, I love some Jerry Rice too. You know, he's definitely one of the GOATs for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, that's how I would do that. You know, I mean, Bo was phenomenal. You know, he was lightning in the bottle.
The longevity hurt Bo.
I got to go with Marcus. He's one at every level.
Already. Yeah. Okay. Let's take it to some basketball. Okay. You got 24 seconds on the clock left in the game. They're going to come down for their last possession. They down by 1 point. There's three names. You got Magic Johnson, you can get a ball to. You got Shaq, you can get a ball to. Or you got LeBron. Start one, bench one, cut one.
Well, 1 second.
You got 24 seconds on the clock. You're coming down. You got the whole shot clock, but it's the last shot. You down by one.
Oh, you got to take the last shot.
Yeah, you down by 1 point.
I think I would have LeBron take that shot. Okay. And then Magic. Shaq, I would be scared that Shaq would get fouled.
Get fouled and then he go to the
free throw. I was wondering where you was going with that.
I like that.
Okay. Okay. You got another one, Hatch? Are you?
I got one more. I'm gonna kind of bring it to the music game a little bit.
Okay, did I segue? You know, okay, go ahead.
And then so we go start one, bench one, cut one. Rapper only, not producer, not, you know, actor, writer, rapper only in the studio rapping. 16 bars. You, right? Q, one. Dre, two, or Ren?
Me, Ren, Dre.
there it is. That's easy. I don't know.
Yeah, of course, I'm going to put myself first. So,
okay.
I don't care who the hell you
are. My man. There it is. My man. Already. Well, you should.
Yeah. You know, okay. I mean, Ren loved to rap. Dre was always reluctant. So, that's easy.
Okay. Easy peasy. Right. Okay, there it is.
All right, so let's walk it back a little bit because we talked about basketball. You mentioned LeBron. So obviously the Lakers are in the playoffs right now. They're up on the Rockets right now. I think after that 2-1. First game, everybody was a little, you know, may have been a little nervous. But you know, I see you shaking your head, Q. But hey, I'm telling you. The way that James Harden plays, and if he can get a little help, they're gonna be pushed to the limits. And the reason I say that is because not necessarily for this series, but I'm looking kind of ahead because I'm thinking they're gonna probably play the Clippers. Is the depth? So I know you obviously be Kobe Lakers fan, Kobe fan, LeBron fan. This year, is this championship or bust year for your Lakers?
I wouldn't say championship or bust. You know, it's a unique situation.
Yeah, that it is.
You know, I'm happy, you know, to be in the damn second round after the last few years. So, I believe, we've got to the championship and not won it before. And it feels like the end of the world. But, you know, I'm not worried about that. You know, I think they got enough to win it all. You know, with the Rockets, if they play at full speed, at playoff speed, they can beat the Rockets. If they play at regular season speed, the Rockets got a chance to beat them. So, right. The Clippers, I believe, across the board that our superstars are better than their superstars. They have some role players. You know, I'm really worried the most about Lou Williams.
Now we're going into the Lakers depth on their bench versus the Clippers bench depth.
Yeah. It's not nothing to sneeze at, but the thing is, the Lakers have played Lou Williams before. You know, he was on the squad. So
some of them
players, you know, especially probably Kuzma, know, you know, what to do when it comes to that because he's seen Lou a lot. But that's our only person we really got to contain. Everybody else is hot and cold. He's the only one that stay hot. So, you know, I believe the Lakers will walk the Clippers, walk through them.
Okay. So let's hypothetically then, since you know the Lakers is going to win, this is the Laker town. We already know that, right? If the Clippers were to run off, let's say, a three-peat in L.A. over the next 3 years, would they turn this in? He said, hypothetical. Is there any way that this L.A. town is ever going to be a Clipper town? All these Clipper fans out there because they think it's daytime. And
Have you ever been at school when the JV won the championship? Yeah. Do you see how the school reacts when the JV win the championship?
Nobody cares.
he knows.
I never played JVT, so I know
he knows. He
I know you played JVT. I didn't play JVT.
You're right. I played JV. I was a late bloomer. I ain't gonna tell a lie. I was a late bloomer. Never thought I was gonna. We done had this conversation time and time again. And Cube don't know this. I never thought I would play beyond the collegiate level. I really didn't. But we talked about earlier, we talked about that pursuit of, you know, greatness and that just that that mentality of wanting to be the best. That's how I got to be where I am. So,
well, you know, most people like you, Kobe, are seize the moment, type people. So that's the key, is it's not really where you from, it's where you at. And so you just have to, you have to have the courage within to seize the moment and not hold yourself back. Mm-hmm. You know, the fight is always within. So I'm glad you made it to the NFL, because it wouldn't be as fun to watch when you play.
I appreciate that, man. That means a lot, man, coming from you. I appreciate it. That's because I always, like I said, I've always played. And then, like I said, I know guys, like I said, you know, I played in the Drew League. I played in the 40 and over. I played at Washington Park. So I run into a lot of guys that's in the hood. So, and they play, they play in some of the leagues. And so I've gotten a chance to see how much admiration that I've had, you know, to those guys, because when I come in the gym, you know, obviously it's unexpected, but then just, you know, when I'm off the court, I'm chopping it up with them. I hear people, just as you're mentioning, you know,
I love you, man.
How they like to, you know, how they, man, it's that admiration. So, man, I appreciate that. Real talk.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, everybody, look, nobody's 100% right. You know what I'm saying? But you got to stand with what you believe in, man. You know, you got to, and I always looked at you and saw you as a person who never forgot where you came from. And
Alexander City, Alabama.
Yeah, you appreciate people that don't go Hollywood just because they can. You know, that still remember where they from.
That's so real already.
Yeah, that's what's up,
there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast with Ice Cube is in the building. We want to say thank you, brother. Thanks for spending the time. We appreciate all the knowledge you gave us, man. Like I said, we appreciate this, my man.
I enjoyed the conversation. Anytime y'all want your boy back, I'm back. You know what I mean? Just holla, T.O. You got my hookup.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah,
Ice Cube, appreciate you, baby.
Appreciate it, bro.
Yay, yay.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Ice Cube. I appreciate the man coming on, blessing the show today. That was the dude, man. That was a dude. Again, I can't help but go back to my and growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, or outside of Cleveland, Ohio. I remember I always wanted those starter jackets, because NWA was rocking the starter jackets before I even thought he'd even come to LA.
Right. Raider
jackets. I was like, ooh, you know, he changed my whole concept of, again, what the rap game was and how to dress. And that changed my whole stilo in the early mid 80s, I guess it was.
What they were doing now, which is such a I guess common theme or name, is influencing.
Absolutely.
They were influencing America, because, bro, it got so bad that I remember they were banning at one point in time. It got so bad because of the fights and, you know, what they felt that it represented to wear black jackets and shades and hats and things of that nature. They associated it with gang violence to the point to where they were influencing kids and grown-ups across America with that style. So, again, like I said, I wasn't fortunate enough to get a starter jacket. I was on welfare at the time. You know what I mean?
You're still on welfare.
That's all right. That's all right. You look like you're on welfare. That's what I'm saying. But, you know, I am well off, well to do right now. But, yeah, man, when you think about, that's what I think about. When you start mentioning those starter jackets, that's why it immediately I thought Los Angeles Raiders, black, dark, you know what I mean? So, again, man, they like I said, they were influenced. They were the influencers before it became such a, you know, cliche now of, you know, people going on social media and, you know, hiring social media influencers, this and that. And that. These were real life influencers from away, from far away in Los Angeles, California. So, man, that was dope today, what we just did.
Yeah, the iconic Ice Cube, man. I think the three things I took away from the show today, and I think the first thing, we're talking about the big three, you know, going into it, like how he, because again, we're talking about him rapping, talking about him writing and being an entertainment and being an icon, but he's a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Like he branded this whole new league that nobody's ever tried to do ever in the last 100 years of having, you know, of course, NBA basketball and overseas, but he branded Big Three. And how he was talking about, again, like you could have played in it, like Chris Brown and himself. Like if you all were in that type of league, it wouldn't have been the authenticity and the competitiveness from ex-NBA players. So he kind of stepped in his lane and said, you know, it's for these first couple years, it has to be this way. Because I'm sure he got a lot of, like you said, he got a lot of backlash on, you know, maybe we do want to get out that lane.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as you said, I mean, just the way that, you know, like I said, they stuck to the plan. Yep. And, you know, a plan is not a plan without execution. And so obviously, you know, Cube himself, he is, I mean, you look at his long list of accomplishments, it says executioner, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what he did with this, this form, this business model. And obviously, like I said, obviously COVID has kind of put a kind of a hit on anything, I think, for him expanding internationally until, you know, all this stuff is resolved. And then obviously we, you know, you never know with, you know, with the president creating all types of tension with some of these international, these other countries, like I said, that may, again, hinder the progress as well. So, but man, we, you know, when you think about Ice Cube, like I said, man, you don't even really need to say or list any accomplishments. You say it's almost like
all.
Right, exactly. We didn't really need to really list, you know, run off, you know, his accomplishments. But as out of respect for who we had on the show,
we still gonna tell you about Boys in the Hood and Barbershop
Friday.
Friday.
Straight out of Compton.
Are we there yet? Beauty Shop. I got the hookup. We gonna still tell you about all that.
Right. They're talking about the albums, the Predator album. That was like when that was in 92 when I was in high school. I was just finishing up high school in the night America's Most Wanted in 1990.
Bro, F like, certificate. You know 91. What I'm saying?
Man, I'm talking about, bro, like already. Man, these songs, just think about some of the hot songs that people don't even really think about. But if you just play it right now, you're gonna find yourself just bobbing your head, jacking for beats.
There you go.
Daddy Marvin, no Vaseline.
There it is.
Hey, how about this one right here? Giving up the nappy dugout.
Nappy dugout.
this I would be appropriate. I would be appropriate for this song right here. Nigga, you love to hate. You know what I mean? That was behind the I love me some me. They hate to love me and they love to hate me.
I think the best one for you would be Everything's Corrupt.
Oh, that's cool too. But that's all right. I'm good because everybody that listened to the show today, we appreciate it. Y'all heard the man himself, Ice Cube. He basically gave me my roses. You know what I mean? So, you know, Hatch, even though this is virtual right now, I know you smell them. I know you smell those roses right now. I know you smell them. You know what I mean?
I root on everybody I know, brother. I'm not a hater. I root on everybody I know.
Congratulations.
You know
but
saying?
Man,
So I think, and the second thing for our three and out, let me see. I think the contract, the CWA.
Right, the CWBA.world.
Yep, I wasn't too familiar with that contract with Black America. And I said you can go ahead and go online and reach that at CWBA.world.
Third one was, meeting Kobe. Was it meeting Kobe, right?
Yep.
I thought that was refreshing to hear. You know, and obviously, like I said, that was one of my questions, I think, that he answered. Was you know, can he share us, you know, share a moment, you know, a fond memory of Kobe? Mm-hmm. Like I said, I remember my first time, you know, meeting Kobe. I remember my last time meeting Kobe. So I thought that was really refreshing to hear and surprising, especially when you talk about and think about who Cube is, Ice Cube is. And like I said, it was an authentic, genuine interaction. How they cross paths, and you know him being in Atlanta, I was waiting for an LA story or something, you know, Staples or Forum or something. But yeah, that took me totally off guard for him to, you know, like you said, and what also the fact that Kobe was there, kind of behind the scenes, he wasn't there to be on the show, but that just shows you too where he was. And now you think about
him winning an Oscar and things of that nature. He's kind of behind the scenes trying to see how the business works, how TV works and things of that nature. So that's probably why he was there too. But yeah, just to hear that story that, you know, they ran into each other there in the control room and then chopped it up. And he, like I said, he had that one-on-one time and it wasn't, Kobe wasn't really in his element. You know what I mean? They were both just chilling. You know what I mean? They're both out of their element. They on the set of TNT there and in the control room and got a chance to kind of get to know one another. And I'm sure it was the same for Kobe.
Yeah. And the thing I took out of that story is kind of how Q, being a professional that he is and the craft master that he is, he doesn't bother the athletes or the entertainer while they're in their environment. And I think, right, as far as, like I said, we see how a lot of players, especially younger players, act. They always want to see who's there and, you know, to be distracted even for 1 second. Like, you know, Cube's like, look, I just want to sit up in the stands and sit in my box and watch a game. And he never got to conversate with Kobe during a
converse with Kobe during,
you know, maybe before the game or something, but he kind of let the, you know, I guess, let it all happen. And then it happened authentically, of course, in a whole nother city, which was Atlanta. So that was great for the story.
Yeah. But yes,
that was awesome, man. That was awesome.
Man, we were right at knocking at the door of an hour, bro. And honestly, like I said, just to be respectful, like I said, he asked me, you know, how much time we got on the show. Like, we could have gone on. I had some other questions that I wanted to ask him, especially on the topic of, you know, racism in America. And just like I said, me knowing that he was in that environment, you know, in Los Angeles, that, like, he was in the hood, you know what I mean? And he never really associated himself with the Bloods or the Crips, you know what I mean? And so, again, some people that, you know, look at NWA or hear Ice Cube or they watch videos or what have you, they probably would think that he was in one of those games, but he was right. never associated with either or. But like I said, it's almost like he was one of those guys that kind of bridged the gap, you know, of the tension sometimes in between the two. So, you know, I appreciated him. Like I said, we could have talked, you know, for a little bit longer. But man, it was this was, we've done good. This the last 2 or 3 weeks we brought on some great guests, you know, from him, Rebecca, Charles. I mean, so, man, I commend, obviously, the producers and everybody helping us, you know, get these guests on here. But, man, this week, bro, the last 2 weeks, man, it's been really, really special.
That's how we do it on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to subscribe on the Himalaya app or ever get your podcast.
No doubt. And you definitely want to see the beautiful faces, you know what I mean, that grace the screens this week. Man, when you talk about myself, I like the way Cube said it. Like, when you put yourself in the mix, you're going to put yourself first. And that's why we get along. That's why we do what we do. We're at the top of our game.
That's
what we do, man. So I appreciate all the listeners. If you guys, obviously, we go back and forth on this show, you definitely want to check us out, you know what I mean, live. Just go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Terrell Owens, and yeah, check it out, man. This was a good show, man. So we appreciate you guys. Don't forget to subscribe to the Himalaya app or wherever you get your podcast. Get your popcorn ready with T.O. and Hatch.
Bye, Felicia.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.